Well, turning your Bible to Ruth chapter 2, we're continuing our study, of course, of this Old Testament history book, and we're seeing the love story of Ruth and Boaz. It's a picture of God's love and redemption for mankind. We see this Moabite girl named Ruth, how she trusts in the God of Israel, and then follows her mother-in-law, Naomi. They follow her back to Bethlehem, and we see, I don't know if I can say it now, Naomi. Yeah, I got it. I can do it. That dyslexia helps a lot. Let me just tell you, it does. Anyway, she followed some woman back to Bethlehem, and we see how God provides and protects. This morning, we see Ruth meets Boaz, and what happens? So there's some great things. Let me give you some things to think about, some several issues as we go through this. First of all, we're going to see the testimony of Ruth. And, you know, it's amazing because she was known for her faith and her love. She was known for her loyalty, and we're going to see, let's think about our testimony. What do people think about us? Second, we're going to see how God protects and provides for Ruth and does it through Boaz, and we see what God does for us. He protects and provides. And then finally, we'll continue to see the sovereignty of God. Everything is working in God's plan. If you look at this, it says that Ruth just so happened to go into the field of Boaz. There's no just so happens ever. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. And this morning, as we see this love story, we'll see some great things. Well, most of you know about the movie or the musical South Pacific. There's a famous song in there called Some Enchanted Evening. Most of you know it. Some Enchanted Evening, you know, this guy comes in, he looks across the crowded room, and he sees this one. And he says from that point on, he knows. We've all heard of our lives of love at first sight. Well, Gene and I have been married almost 29 years. And Gene and I had known each other just as acquaintance, and then about not quite 30 years ago, I flew to Mississippi to preach the ordination service of my brother-in-law. He wasn't my brother-in-law then. He was my good buddy, and he's married to Jean's twin sister. So as I got to the church, I got out of my car. I was by myself. I got out of the car, and I looked across the crowded parking lot. And there was Jean getting out of the car with Barbara and Owen. And I said, that's a spicy meatball right there. That's what I'm looking for. But it's one of those things. And, you know, God put us together beginning basically that weekend. It's been almost 29 years. In the book of Ruth this morning, we're going to see that Boaz comes from Bethlehem out to the fields, and he sees this young woman. Basically, when he sees her at first, she's sitting there drinking some water, and he says, whose young woman is this? Who is this? And I imagine that when she saw him come up, since he's kind of the hero of the story and he's handsome and he's rich and he's everything, she probably saw and said, I wonder who that man is. Well, this morning is the beginning of the love story, the beginning of the redemption story. Because see, Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who redeemed Ruth and Naomi. And Jesus Christ redeems us. And so as we begin, let's think about what happened. Naomi was the Jewish woman with her husband, Elimelech, and they went with their two sons. They went, there was a famine in Bethlehem, and they said, we just can't stay here, so we're going to go to Moab, which they shouldn't have done. And when they got there, Elimelech died, and then the two sons married foreign women, which they weren't supposed to do, Moabite women. I told you, most of you, to go look in Genesis 19 to see where the Moabites came from. And then the two sons died, and so this woman, Naomi, is left with no husband, no sons, no way to be taken care of, and she's got two foreign daughter-in-laws. And so she decides to go back to Bethlehem, and as she goes, the girls are following her, and she tells them to go back home, and they don't want to go, and then she tells them, you better go back, there's nothing for you, there's no sons for you to marry, there's nothing, we'll be in poverty, you need to go home. And Orpha, one of the girls, kisses Naomi and leaves, and goes back, as the Bible says, to her family and to her gods. But Ruth says, no, don't ask me to leave. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God is my God. And Ruth believed in the God of Israel. And she wouldn't leave. And Naomi finally said, okay, if you're not going to go back, then you're coming with me. But just remember, when we get there, it's poverty and it's nothing. And when they came into the city, all the women said, it's Naomi, because she'd been gone 10 years. And they rushed out. And remember, I told you a while ago, Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Bitterness, that's what the name Mara means. because I'm bitter. I lost my husband. I went out full. I came back empty. She doesn't know that she's come back full. She just doesn't know it yet. And so as we start chapter 2, we have a widow, an older widow, and a younger widow with no way to make it. See, there wasn't a welfare system. They just didn't go down to the government and say, hey, we're a couple of widows and we need to sign up for, you know, welfare. There wasn't any. And that day and time, if you didn't have family, if you were a widow and you didn't have a husband or a family or anything, you were on your own. How's God going to provide? What's going to happen? Well, let's break down the passage. We're going to see, first of all, Ruth goes to glean. We'll talk about why she could do that, how she could do that. We see that Ruth meets Boaz. We'll see the story. And then Naomi is going to rejoice for the first time in a long time. Naomi has been bitter, and now she's going to have blessing because the Redeemer is found. We'll talk about what that means as we get to it. Let's start chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And as we look at this, the writer is giving us a little background so we'll know what's going on. Look at verse 1. It says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Now, the word kinsman here just means a relative. It says Naomi had a relative. Her husband had someone that was related to him. Now, this man had a lot of wealth. He was a rich man, and it says a man of great wealth. It literally says a mighty man of valor. That was a Hebrew way of saying that this person was well thought of. It could mean he was strong and valiant, that he was a fighter. It could mean that he was rich and wealthy. That could mean he was powerful. It has the idea of all of that put in there. And so if you went to Bethlehem and you said, does anybody around here know a guy named Boaz? And they go, yeah, everybody knows Boaz. Boaz is rich and he's powerful and he's everything. He's everything. He's everything you could want. And so the writer just says, by the way, just want you to know the background of the story. Naomi's husband had a wealthy relative named Boaz. Now, from there we get back to Ruth. Watch verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. She said to her, go, my daughter. What is she talking about? She's saying, let me go glean in the fields. What fields? They don't have any fields. They don't have any property. They had some property, but it's gone. And so they don't have a place to go. But Ruth says, let me go in the fields. Because remember we talked last week about what they call the law of gleaning. If you were poor, you could go into somebody else's field, and while they're harvesting their crops, you could walk behind the harvesters and you could get anything they dropped. Even that in a field, the person who owned the field was not supposed to harvest the corners of their field so that the poor people could go and get something. In fact, it's called, let me show you this, Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. Let me show you, to go to the next slide. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field. Neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Go on. Nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of the vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I'm the Lord your God. God said, you people who own property and have the stuff, there are people who are poor out there. They don't have any way to make it. So you leave the corners and you drop some stuff and they'll come and they'll get it. Deuteronomy 24. Look at this. When you reaped your harvest in the field and you've forgotten a sheaf in the field, don't go back. You shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the alien. It shall be for the orphan. It shall be for the widow, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. So if you're harvesting something and you drop something, you just say, don't go back and get it. That's for the poor people. That's for the poor people. So Ruth says to her mother-in-law, let me go. She says, please let me go into the fields and like glean in somebody's field, because we don't have any way to have any food. How are we going to eat? And the truth is, she's saying, Naomi, you're too old. I'm young. Let me get out there. Let me get us something, because it's going to be hard work. I'll work all day long just to have enough food, maybe for us too. Maybe if I work all day long, because they don't drop much, you know? So she said, let me go. And she said, okay, you can go. Now, God had provided a way for the poor, but we're going to see that God was providing for Ruth in two things. First of all, spiritually, because she's come to know the God of Israel. He's provided for her a Savior, but he's providing for her physically, because he said, you can go. That's called the law of gleaning. The same is true for us. He provides spiritually for us. For by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. He has provided for us a Savior, Jesus Christ. He provides for us physically. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So God takes care of us in the same way. So what happened? Verse 3. So she departed and went and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging to who? To Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. She didn't know that. She went out and she's looking for a field. She doesn't know where to go. She leaves the city of Bethlehem and goes out in the fields. And she's walking along. And it says that she just happened to come to a portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Listen, there's no such thing as what? As fate or luck or chance. It didn't just happen. She didn't just happen to show up in Boaz's field. God's working all things. J. Vernon McGee said the angels are watching and they're going, no, not that field, this field. Go. Oh, she went to the right field. That's what, J. Vernon McGee said that. So often we think our decisions don't mean anything. We say, where do y'all want to go eat? It doesn't matter. Well, every decision has consequences, both good and bad. And so what looks like, I'll just go in this field, changes the whole course of history. Because remember who Ruth is? She's the great-grandmother of King David, who is the great, that has a greater son called Jesus Christ. Wow. So she's going to glean in the field. Now, let's watch what happens. Let's meet the hero. Everybody wants to meet the hero, right? This is a love story. For the guys, we say, we'll live with it. You know, girls are going, I love it. I love this book. And we say, it's okay. But it is okay because our redemption is a love story. So here's what happens, verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Here he is, the big man. He comes from Bethlehem and he says to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they say to him, may the Lord bless you. Now, as he comes out, he's coming out to his fields. Look, he's rich. These are his fields. These are his workers. He's got his maids out there. He's got a servant that oversees the whole thing. And he comes out there, and as he comes out, they see him coming. And he says, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord be with you. And they're back and forth. And what you can see is that he's a godly man. He's a man who loves God. And he's respected, and they respect him. And I want you to picture something, okay? Picture that as he comes up and says, blessed, and he looks and he goes, who's that? In his mind, he goes, who's that? Now, let's picture her, because see, she got there that morning, and she's been following them. And every time somebody drops something, she picks some up, and she's got a little bit. And she's worked for a long time, and it's really hot. So she decides that there's a little shed that they have that when people got too hot or they needed some water, they could come sit there. And she's left working in the field, and she's sitting in the little shed. And Boaz comes up, and he sees her sitting in the little shed. And he says to himself, who is that? And as Boaz comes up, what do you think she says? Who is that? I've never seen him before. He seems to be what? Pretty important, because everybody's going, may the Lord bless you. And he's going, how's my fields? How's everything going? You know, so she knows he's important. Verse 5, then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of all these reapers, whose young woman is this? And what he's really asking, who does she belong to? Because see, a young woman, who did she belong to? Either her daddy or her husband. For a young woman to be out there, he's saying, who does this woman belong to? Who is her father or who is her husband? Because he doesn't know. And watch what the servant says. The servant in charge of the reapers replied, she's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. She's the one everybody talked about. You remember when Naomi came back after 10 years? She'd been gone and everybody was going, Naomi's back, Naomi's back. And she brought this girl. This is the young Moabite woman that came back. She is the woman who came with Naomi. The town had been stirred over this. And they had been stirred for several reasons. One, Naomi came back without anybody. No husband, no sons, nothing. And she came back with a foreign daughter-in-law. And then he says, and she said to me, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning till now, and she's been sitting in the house for just a little while. So she asked, can I glean? Let me tell you something. There's two sides to it. that Boaz allowed, but Ruth asked. Listen, you, if you were wealthy, you had the land, you, by the Mosaic law, you were required to let the poor be in your field. But also, they were to ask. They weren't just to assume. And she came up and asked the man who's in charge. She said, I know you're in charge. Can I glean in the field? He said, yes, you can glean in the field. It was probably very normal for people to come to Boaz's field and glean because Boaz was rich and wealthy and powerful, and he was a good man, and everybody knew it. So he said, well, she came and asked me if we could do that, and I said, yeah. And she stayed out here all morning long, and she just went to sit down there for just a little bit in the house. But he's really saying is she's been a hard worker. She's not been sitting there all morning. She's been working, and she just wanted to rest. So what's he going to do? He's going to walk over there to see her. And he's starting to go that way. And she's saying, he's coming over this way. He's coming over here to me. He's coming to talk to me. What am I supposed to say to him? What if he tells me to leave? What if he says, what do you think you're doing in my... What do you think you're doing? You're not my maid. You're not one of my workers. What if he gets on me? I don't know if I can handle it. He sure is handsome, though. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, so what happens? Then Boaz said to Ruth, he said, listen carefully, my daughter. Look how he describes her. My daughter, do not go glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay with my maids. Listen, I want you to stay here with my people. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I've commanded the servants not to touch you. When you're thirsty, you can go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. So he calls her daughter because he's older. We're going to find out that he's much older than she is. He says, listen to me. And he calls her daughter. This is a sign of respect. He says, listen, don't leave. You go wherever my maids go. If they were to go to another field, you just follow them. I've already commanded my servants to be watching out for you. Nobody's going to touch you. If you need to drink water, you come up here and get water anytime you want to. But I'm here to protect you. There is provision and protection. He said, you can glean, but there's protection. Nobody's going to touch you. You're going to be with my girls. I'm going to keep the men away from you, and you can drink all the water you want. God is a God who provides. God is a God who protects. If you're Ruth, this man has just said to you, don't worry about a thing. You can stay in my fields. You're going to be like one of my maids. I'm going to take care of you. You need something to drink. You get something to drink. The men know to leave you alone. God is our provider and protector. Now, let me ask you something. All that he, under the law, had the right, all that he could have done is said, listen, you got the right to be in my field, but stay out of my people's way. He could have said that. He didn't say that. He did more than she could have imagined. And that's how God deals with us. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God does beyond what we could ask or imagine. Think about your life. What has he done in your life? Is it but what you thought? Or is it even beyond what you could even think? Look how she responded. She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? She asked the great question. Why are you doing this for me? Why have you shown me grace? You went way beyond what the law said. The law said I got the right to be in the field. You said, get in the field. We're going to give you stuff. You can drink water. I'm going to protect you. Go with my maids. She's wondering, why did you show me this grace? And we could ask the same question. Why would God so love us that he'd send his son, Jesus Christ? Why would he take care of us every day, moment by moment? What have we done to deserve this? Answer's nothing. Well, look what Boaz says. Boaz replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been reported to me, fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and you came to a people that you did not previously know. Listen, I heard all about what you've done. I've heard all about what you've done. Look, he says, what you've done for Naomi, how you left your parents, how you left your people, and you came to this land, you came to a people you don't even know. And then look what it says. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel. Now watch this. Under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. See, Ruth believed in the God of Israel. And notice, This was an act of faith. It was public knowledge. Ruth was a believer. When she came back with Naomi, they said, I believe in the God of Israel. I believe in the coming Messiah. I believe in the things that y'all believe. Because see, normally Moabites didn't believe that. They had false gods over there. They had gods, they burned up their babies. She said, I don't believe all that. I believe in the true God of Israel. And Boaz says, it's known who you are and what you've done and how you've come to seek refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. Ruth's testimony. He knew her character and he knew her faith. Think about us. Do people know our character? And do people know that we're believers? Do the people you come in contact with every day know your character? And do they know your faith? Do they know what you believe and why you believe it? Do they know what you stand for? But look what happens. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and indeed you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. She said, you've been so kind to me, and I don't deserve it, and I'm nothing, and you're treating me just like you would have treated one of your own workers. But there's more. Because it's going to be time to eat in a minute. And what did they do when they ate? The people that worked for Boaz, his maids, that servant would call them all together and feed them. What about the poor people in the field? They don't come eat. They don't come eat from the man who owns the field. That's not required. They can get the land, but they, you know, but watch what happens. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers. She sat with his workers, and he served her roasted grain. Not somebody else, he did. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Listen, what happened? He invited her for lunch, right? She could have been out in the field when it's time to eat, and he said, no, come here. Come here. Sit right there. You eat some of my stuff. Here, I'm getting it for you. What is he doing? He is showing her love and grace. He's going way beyond. Why would he do that? Because God stirred in his heart something. And we're going to see it as we go through the book. We're going to see that God is preparing this man to be her kinsman redeemer. Just like God so loved us, he prepared his son, Jesus Christ, to be our kinsman redeemer. So watch what he says. Afterwards, then she rose to glean. This is over. This eat through. So Boaz commands his servants. He calls them in and says, listen, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not insult her. Remember, they're supposed to stay back, and if somebody drops something, they could get it. But he says, if she wants to get right up with everybody else, go ahead. And you shall purposely, watch this, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. He said, listen, as you're going along, just throw a whole bunch of stuff down that she can pick it up. I mean, she's going to be walking along and she's going, good night, these are messy people. They're leaving all kind of stuff. And she's realizing, I think she realizes what happened. He says, do this, drop some extra for her. And so what's going to happen? He says, go in his fields, stay here, I'm going to protect you. I fed you lunch, and I'm giving you extra in privileges. God does the same for us. It's beyond what we could ask or imagine. So watch what happens. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was an epa of barley. By the way, that's a 5 to 10 day supply. Normally, when you were in the fields and you tried to make it, you might get enough for one person for one day. She got almost 10 days worth. She's coming home like this. Man, I got some stuff, you know? I got some stuff. Everybody else is going, how did she get all that? Other people who've been in the field, poor, they looking over there going, how did she get all that? Good gracious. What happens when she goes back home? Verse 18. So she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. What do you think Naomi said when she saw it? She said, where in the world did you get all that stuff? She also took out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. It sounds funny, but what it's really saying is, Ruth said, this is enough for me. Everything else is for Naomi. That's what Ruth did. Her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today and where did you work? Because she said, this is way, way much more than anybody normally gets. May he who took notice of you be blessed. Well, whoever did this, may they be blessed. Wow, this is great. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and she said, the name of the man whom I worked today is who? It's Boaz. It's Boaz. And look what she says. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, that man, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. I want you to notice something. Naomi's gone from being Mara to being blessed. Look what she said. May he be blessed to the Lord has not withdrawn his kindness. His kindness. She's changed. The change in Naomi from bitterness to blessing because she realized that God is working. Let me tell you something. Here's a statement. When you look at yourself, you're going to be distressed. When you look at others, you're going to be depressed. But when you look to Jesus, you're going to be blessed. So keep the focus on Jesus Christ, not yourself and not others. But notice this word. She says, God has not withdrawn his kindness. You remember? That's that word loyal love. That's that Hebrew word chesed, which means a loyal love, a love that never changes. And she said, this man's our relative. He is our closest relative. Let me show you something. It's the Hebrew word ga'al. Sometimes it's spelled G-O-E-L. Sometimes it's spelled G-A-A-L. It's a special Hebrew word that means the kinsman redeemer. It means the relative that is close enough to redeem. It doesn't just mean I'm in your family. It means I'm close enough to come take care of you. Now, let me remind you something. The redeemer, the kinsman redeemer was a person that if in my family somebody got themselves in trouble and they didn't have any property, they didn't have anything, I could redeem them. If I had the money, I could come in and I could purchase them. I could redeem them. I could be their kinsman redeemer. I could be their closest relative and I could buy land for them. I could purchase it all. I could get them out of slavery if they were in slavery. I could be their kinsman redeemer. For all of us in this room before Jesus Christ, before we trusted in Christ, we were dead in sins and we were in slavery to sin, and Jesus Christ came and redeemed us. He is our kinsman redeemer. And I'm going to talk more about it in just a second. But she says to Ruth, this man is our Gael. He's our closest relative. I'm not even sure Ruth knew what that meant because this is a Hebrew thing. It's not a Moabite thing. She might have went, okay, whatever that means. Well, anyway, who knows? Then Ruth, the Moabite, said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they finished all the harvest. He said, don't leave. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that you go out with his mate so that others do not fall upon you in the fields. He said, that's a good idea. And then they said, so she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Now, this is going to take about 3.5 months to finish off the two harvests. So every day for 3 months, she's going to go into the field of Boaz and she's going to follow his workers and they're going to drop stuff for her and she's going to be provided for. And he's going to say, go get something to drink. He's going to say, come up here and eat with me. And what's going to happen? They're building a relationship. And all the while, Ruth may not exactly understand what a kinsman redeemer is, but Naomi did. And she thought, this could be what we're looking for, right? Because they got nothing. They got nothing. Let's look at this kinsman redeemer. I just want to show you something. And I want to show you the contrast and then we'll end. Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ. See, Boaz was a blood relative who had the money to purchase them and to redeem them. And not only that, he's going to be willing to do it. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Why? Because he's a blood relative, because Jesus Christ in Hebrews 2:14 became a human being. Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son born of a woman. Jesus Christ became just like us. He's our relative. He's able to redeem. The blood of Jesus Christ purchases us. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And not only is Jesus able to redeem, and not only is he our blood relative, he is willing to redeem. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us. So, as Boaz is Ruth's kinsman redeemer, he's a picture, a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, who is our kinsman redeemer. Every one of us in this room, you all be on your face saying, thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to be my redeemer, that he became a human being so he could die for me, so that he could purchase me with his blood, and he was willing to do it. That's who Jesus is. Let me give you a couple of applications, and we'll stop. First of all, realize that Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Just think about that. We had a debt we couldn't pay. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ came and redeemed us. He purchased us. He became our substitute. He died for us. We have the redeemer. I think the next slide says he's made of our blood. He is able and willing. My prayer for you, if you have never understood this, that today, where you're sitting right now, you will put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Redeemer, as the one who's provided the way for you to have eternal life. And when you trust in Christ, he gives you eternal life. Second, realize that God is in complete control and provides. He is. It is no chance. It didn't just happen that Ruth went into the field of Boaz. In the whole sovereign plan of God, that's the plan. And God provides salvation and provision, not only for Naomi and Ruth and all that, but what he did was beyond what was expected. The same thing God provides for us, beyond what is expected. Hudson Taylor said this: we must realize that all we have comes from God beyond what we need. We have to give him the glory. And the third thing, let's look at our lives and our testimony. What about our character? What about our witness? Do people know what we believe? Do people know what we're like? Do people know that we stand for Christ? Do people know that we're different in that sense? Not we're different, but standing for Jesus Christ different. Chuck Colson, before he died, wrote this. He said, if there's so many Christians out there, why are we not affecting the world? It's because we treat our faith as just a part of our lives. It's just one of the concerns that competes for our attention. See, too often Christians, we come to the body, come together on a Sunday morning, and we worship Jesus, and we love everything, and we study the Bible. And then when we go, it's a compartment. And then we go back home, and then we go to work, and we don't really think about it until we come back again. It is our life. It is everything, our life, our character, and our testimony. May we live our lives to glorify our Savior Jesus Christ. May we realize that God's in control, working all things, and he will provide for us beyond what we could imagine. Let's pray.